Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson today is on the subject of virtue. We find the word virtue, the English word, in 2 Peter chapter 1, where the Apostle Peter talks about, add to your faith, virtue. In fact, the word appears 7 times in the New Testament, but not always with the same meaning and with the same idea. It is sometimes difficult in translating from one language to another to find an exact equivalent, except to use more than one word. The Greek language, the language of the New Testament, has the capacity to present shades of meaning to ideas that are not always easily duplicated in English. Well, such is true of the word that's translated virtue. 3 times it comes from the Greek word dunamis, and it means power, such as we find in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 6. And sometimes it's used with reference to the healing power of Christ. 4 times it carries the primary meaning of being called to glory and to virtue, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Or as the American Standard Version renders it, by his own glory and virtue. And here it refers to the excellence of God. The word is also found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 and is translated praises, to show forth praises of him who hath called you. And in similar fashion, in Philippians 4 and verse 8, if there be any virtue, there it means moral excellence, without imperfection, but goodness and absolute purity. But twice in 2 Peter chapter 1, we find the word virtue. Here it refers to a quality of character to be added in the growth of a Christian. This has reference to a quality of a man, not the excellence of God. It is part of the divine nature of which man is capable of partaking. Man does not have moral excellence or sinless perfection. The term here has a more specific and limited meaning. It is listed in that catalog of qualities that are to be nurtured, that are to be cultivated, qualities that are to be developed in the growth of a child of God. It is as if the Holy Spirit was saying, this quality is vital to the ability to develop the other graces that are listed. It is stated to be necessary to be fruitful in Christ and to prevent apostasy. I think we would best understand the word virtue in 2 Peter chapter 1 if we would understand it as moral courage. Just how do you define moral courage? Well, we can use 2 methods to learn its definition. We can cite examples and demonstrations of it, or we can find expressly stated verbal explanations of its nature. Well, let's look at some Old Testament examples of moral courage. And the first example we cite is that of Joseph, when he refused the advances of Potiphar's wife, of which we read in Genesis chapter 39. Joseph knew the risk to his position in Potiphar's household, regardless of his decision. Yet, he fled from the presence of temptation, and he had the courage to reject sin. Now, to be sure, he suffered much because of his decision, because he was falsely accused of doing the very thing that he refused to do, and he was sent to prison. But in face of evil, he chose to do what was right before God. Friend, that is moral courage. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, resisting the temptation to be rich and powerful, and he rejected the pleasures of sin for a season. He defended a fellow Israelite when he was being persecuted by a taskmaster. He determined to count himself among God's people rather than among the Egyptians. His choice was not an easy one, but it was a deliberate one, and it was motivated by his faith. He acted contrary to what many would consider to be in the best interest of his worldly existence. But he displayed moral courage, such as was necessary for him to qualify for the role that God had for him in life. He exercised the power of choice. He decided to do right, and then to bear whatever consequences would come upon him for his righteous choice. Friend, that's a demonstration of moral courage. Whereas Joseph and Moses showed virtue because they refused to do what was wrong, others showed virtue by what they did. Consider Joshua and Caleb, two of the spies that Moses sent into Canaan. Although the other 10 spies resigned to do what they wanted to do, they determined to go ahead and disobey God. They encouraged Israel not to enter into the land. These two, Joshua and Caleb, they stood firm in faith, resisting the pressure of their peers, not following the ways of their fellow countrymen. They urged the people forward. Sadly, they were not successful, but they had the courage that with God's help, they could take the land. Consider also other men such as David, when he went before Goliath, or Daniel, in his training, when he purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the food set before him that was unlawful for him as a Jew to eat. And even when he refused to abandon prayer, in spite of the king's decree, and was cast into the lion's den. Think also of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they faced the fiery furnace rather than to bow before idols. And was not Elijah a character of virtue at Mount Carmel, and in his contest with the false prophets of Baal? And what of Esther, who risked her life to preserve Israel? And she said, "If I perish, I perish." But the point is, she was determined to do her duty. It is virtue, it is moral courage, to do what you must do and what you ought to do. Now in the New Testament, we read of such men as Peter and John Mark, who at first lacked moral courage, by the way, at a very crucial time in his life. Peter denied Christ, and all the others were fleeing from him also. But later in their lives, there is no question that both of them possessed this great virtue, and they demonstrated their willingness to serve the Lord faithfully at all costs. It took moral courage for the Apostle Paul to bring alms from the Gentiles to Jerusalem, as he had planned to do, even in face of prophecies that warned him he would be seized by his enemies. The expectation of capture was realized, and he was arrested, and he had to be rescued by authorities lest he be killed by the mob. But he became the object of an assassination plot. Imprisoned and tried, he even had to appeal to Caesar for his life. But he demonstrated moral courage. But of course, the supreme example of moral courage is Jesus the Christ. He endured such suffering in order to do the Father's will. In Matthew 26 and verse 39, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Yes, the Bible furnishes us many examples of the very quality that we have under consideration, that quality of virtue, moral courage. Now, courage is not exactly the same thing as the opposite of fear. Courage often rises in the presence of fear. It rises in spite of fear. All people realize that self-preservation is a very powerful motivation of man. We fear what threatens our welfare, and we will do what we have to do to protect life. Fear can be very discomforting, but it can also serve as a blessing by encouraging us to be cautious and diligent, calling us to action, and is often a prelude to greatness. Fear can be turned into an asset. Courage is that quality of facing that which might strike fear in our heart, but doing what we ought to do in spite of that fear. You know, people often do brave deeds, and it's not always because of the absence of fear, but in spite of fear. They do them anyway, because they face fear, but they overcome it with moral courage. Courage, or virtue, is the quality that enables us to encounter moral challenges to our convictions and not to yield or bow to the temptations and the onslaughts of Satan against our soul. Virtue will cause us to resist the pressure to conform to evil. It'll enable us to even stand alone, if needs be, for that which is right, and to retain Christ-like purity and a steadfastness in spite of what any and all others around us may do or say or think about it. Virtue keeps on a level of spiritual equilibrium and stability. We will not be tossed to and fro by whatever crosses our path. We can face temptations that otherwise would cause frustration, except we have the moral stamina to defend ourselves against it. Virtue means to know what God expects, and then to do what God expects. Now, to just know but not do as God expects produces guilt and shame, and has even driven people over the precipice of mental and emotional breakdown, even suicide, like Judas. But virtue means, having done all, to stand, Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Now let us consider some very practical matters regarding virtue. Friend, virtue enables the young to say no to youthful lust. It equips the businessman to deal honestly when it may be more materially profitable to deal otherwise. Virtue gives us strength to stand when tempted to worldly conduct, such as dancing and drinking of alcoholic beverages, stealing, using drugs illegally, lying and gossiping, and being immoral sexually. Virtue prevents one from compromising timidly his convictions and surrendering to the wishes of the crowd around him. Virtue assists the sinner to confess his faith in Christ in a world that's hostile to Christ. Virtue will guide the Christian to walk worthy of his vocation. It will cause elders and preachers and teachers to defend and to uphold truth against all the invasions of error and digression, either from the left or from the right, regardless of personal consequences. Virtue will provoke brethren to seek and to hold to the old paths in the midst of the storms of innovations and gimmicks and newness for the sake of newness. It will encourage the parent to resist the temptation to be lenient and permissive and indulgent when love and discipline and firmness are in order. Virtue will fortify one to meet the fiery darts of ridicule and rejection and the insult that will often come if we are determined to remain faithful to Thus Saith the Lord. Virtue, you see, is to have the power to do right, even when nobody else is watching, either to praise you or condemn you for what you do. Virtue is a mark of spiritual maturity. Brethren can help one another in the battle that we all must fight, this war between good and evil. We can indeed bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6 and verse 2. But ultimately, we each must grow and mature and cultivate and develop personal virtue, moral courage for ourselves, if we are to make our calling and election sure. The lack of virtue will produce spiritual blindness and weakness. It will make us to be unfruitful and barren. It will leave us unsure and unsettled and vulnerable to the wiles of the devil, more subject to falling away into condemnation. And from these things we can see, can we not, the wisdom of the divine admonition that the Apostle Peter gives us in 2 Peter chapter 1. To your faith, add virtue. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.